The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
By Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. We're going to talk about new beers which are AI generated.
That's the latest, Pat. Yeah, I keep watching AI. Do you? It's in the always in the news and stuff, and I'm wondering, is it all true and what the hype is? But there's AI generated beer. Several brewing companies are using AI to generate new products based on various metrics, but they're using robots effectively to design beers.
So how do they do it? I mean, it's a dark art, really, taking hops and water and whatever else and mixing it up to your own recipe, and out comes a lovely beer.
It's abominable to some brewers, isn't it? This is a craft, remember, so it's a little bit against the tide on that one. But Beck's began it. Beck's, that brewer, is 150 years old. To celebrate their anniversary, they said, we're going to have a robot design beer, and they used AI to make a beer. St. Austell's, a UK brewer, again, they've made a beer. It's called Hand Brewed by Robots. And what they do is, beer is quite complicated, but if you dig into it, many different chemicals, natural chemicals there, and different flavours and all this sort of stuff. They stick the data into the AI system and ask it to sort of change things, I suppose, and make different additions.
So if you've got, say, 20 different ingredients that you've isolated, I mean, if you look at, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, 20 of them, you know, trying to find the exact recipe, you've got loads of options, thousands and thousands of options from those 20 ingredients.
That's right. And the brewing process, Pat, was trial and error over thousands of years, remember, the way they changed the different ways of doing it. The sweetness, acidity, the hop level, and various other components are in there that they will measure. And one good example of that is in Leuven, the University of Leuven, they analysed 250 beers, separate beers, analysed them in great detail, and then began modelling what a new beer would look like. Let's say we tweak this or we add this in.
Yeah.
They added in glycerol, which is a natural chemical, or lactic acid as an example, and then modelled that and said, would this give rise to a different flavour? And lo and behold, they got a beer out of it that the consumers that were, we like this one. And the brewer himself said he'd never have thought of adding those ingredients. So they were predicted by the AI system.
Okay, so that's the taste of the beer. Now, the way it pours is also a scientific endeavour. A lot of physics involved.
Huge physics in the foam. Yeah, but it seems straightforward, doesn't it? But getting a foam to form is not that trivial, it turns out. And again, it's been done by trial and error over hundreds of years. They now know why foams form in beer, Pat, and it's protein content, interestingly. So the barley has proteins. The proteins go into the beer and they form coats around the bubbles. All these bubbles form. And the protein coating the bubble determines the foam. And this was discovered a few years ago now, I guess. And they're studying that protein content.
So different proteins, different foams.
Exactly, yeah. And what happens is the protein itself has it's called a surfactant, and that would allow these bubbles then to form foams. And a very strange one, Pat, was the more you ferment, the less protein there is, it gets damaged, basically. So less fermentation means less foam, with one exception, the Trappist beers in Belgium. They are famous for repeat fermentation. And they've noticed there's a specific protein in those beers, it's called LTP1, that improves with fermentation. And you get better foams. So suddenly they've realised now there's other ways to make better foams.
Well, I know that years ago when I was a penniless student and you buy a beer in Europe and you get a glass half full of foam.
Yeah, that's not great either.
That's not great.
That's a bit of a fiddle. I know.
I always felt I was being gypped.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that one, Pat's interesting because it goes beyond beer. Now, many lubricants are made for engines and so on. They can form foams that you don't want. And those foams can cause fires. This is a real problem. Mm. And they're using the foam technology in beer now to try and make better lubricants for engines. That's where this would go. And in fact, this protein, LTP1, that's now being tested in lubricants.
Okay.
And it's green. Remember, these are natural chemicals. So again, it might give rise to better lubricants.
I'm just wondering, though, about Guinness. Because, you know, the head on the Guinness is very, very fine foam, really.
And you know why, Pat? I presume you know as a chemist, you must remember it's nitrogen.
Nitrogen.
That's the secret. So the type of gas in the bubble determines the bubble size, right? Nitrogen, smaller bubbles. You get a denser head forming then as a result.
So the trick was nitrogen. You'd have a different...
slightly bigger bubbles, yeah. Okay. And then secondly, there must be something in the protein in the beer as well, coating the bubble, and then that allows that particularly dense head of Guinness to form.
When you tried the NitroSurge, have you tried that at home?
I have, yeah. It's not bad, but it's reasonable.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
And that's the ultrasound releasing the nitrogen.
Yeah, and to give Guinness credit, Pat, they've got great scientists there. That was invented by scientists. Not that we're being sponsored by Guinness. I do drink it, but that they invented that. You know, they use real technology there to develop that.
Now let's talk about drugs and how AI might accelerate the passage of a drug to market.
Again, you got to watch this about the hype, you see, and I've been hearing this for two or three years now. AI will improve drug discovery, and we think it will, by the way, but it can be overstated, of course, as ever when new things come along. But now, Pat, a milestone has been reached. The first drug to make it to what's called a phase two trial, just designed by AI, no human intervention at all, has now made it. And that's seen as a milestone. Now, a phase two trial is the second phase of drug testing, then finally go to phase three, and then it gets approved in the end. But it's the first time a drug has made it to phase two that was now, just designed by AI.
What does it do?
Well, again, it's got the name Rentosertib. These names must be invented by robots because nobody can pronounce them. But that's the name of the drug, and it's for a disease called pulmonary fibrosis. It's a lung disease where the lungs get really badly damaged. It's a really serious ailment. There aren't too many therapeutic options out there, and they went after that disease for a start, and then they used AI. Now, what they did was they analysed tens of thousands of samples from fibrotic lungs, try to figure out what's different in those samples. And there were many, many differences. We do this anyway. And AI was needed because it was so complicated. From the analysis, they picked the target. It's called TNIK, T-N-I-K, as it happens to be the name of the target. If you block that, you should relieve fibrosis.
Okay.
And then they got an AI to design the chemical to target TNIK. And lo and behold, the drug Rentosertib was invented purely from AI using chemistry and analysis.
And what is the word from those early trials?
Good. Yeah, this is why it's in the news in a way. I'm sure this might have happened before and the drugs didn't make it. I mean, first of all, would it be safe? And as you know, if you have new drugs, you got to test for safety. Would you trust the drug that was designed by a robot? Is the question in a way. Lo and behold, they did, and it's safe. That's the first
thing. Funny, you'd have no hesitation testing a beer.
You wouldn't. That's very true. Exactly. Yeah, that's true. But again, obviously, it's very highly sophisticated. But still, people say, well, hang on a minute. Did the robot get it right? Now, robots are less likely to make mistakes than humans, so you might be more confident. But still, safety first. And then more importantly, they're getting an effect in the trial. They're calling it a modest protective effect, but still, they've ticked two of the boxes. Now, what this means is they'll move to a phase three. Phase three, maybe 1,000 patients will be tested next. Yeah. With the same drug. Now, if this eventually makes it, it'll be the first drug on the market that was just designed by AI.
And of course, you can send it back to AI and say, look, the effect here was modest. Can you pull up your socks a bit, robot, and give us something a bit better?
You've got it precisely. But that's exactly what they've done, actually. They put this Rentosertib drug back into the machine and say, can you tweak it in a rational way, by the way? And the machine now is spitting out Rentosertib 2, as it were. And now they're testing that next. So that's where it'll go next.
It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Luke, thank you very much for joining us. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.